184 in our songbook says, I just keep trusting my Lord. That's how we'll begin Sunday school this morning. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have all here, and I enjoy hearing the visiting going on, and I know people have been busy, but let's start with, I just keep trusting my Lord, number 384. Teaches us that the Holy Spirit would open our understanding, illumine our minds. And Father, I ask you too that you would guide the teachers as they recall what they have studied and prepared, and that it would be honoring to you and true to your word. Father, we desire the truth in every way, and ask you that Valley Baptist Church would be known in that way, that our desire would be to present the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Let's just stop right there. There's much more, but let's, for the sense of time, let's stop there and say, is there wars and rumors of wars going on right now? Oh my gosh. Now some would say, oh, that has been for forever, right? But are they getting more and more frequent and seem to be more and more intense?
They're involving the whole world today.
Now a lot of people back at before the world wars or in during those times would say, well, that's got to be, but he says the end is not yet. Okay? But we see an increasing, remember you ladies that have had children, you remember how the birth pangs progressed, they got more frequent, they got more intense. That's exactly what's going on. That's what Jesus kind of pictures here. It's only the beginning. It's going to continue to get worse. Now, Zephaniah, I'm going to give you some scriptures for you to go home and look at, okay? Just to help out. Some that are not written here. So hopefully you've got your pencil. Let me read one for you. Since we are in Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 21 and 22. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor shall never be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So it's going to be a very intense time like nothing else ever has happened. Okay? All right, you ready to write down some references? Zephaniah, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Zephaniah 1, 15 and 16. Zephaniah 2, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, I'm sorry. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And of course, we read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. All of these point to the judgments that are coming being the wrath of God. Okay. Any question about that? So there's going to be a series of three judgments. And we're not going to dive into these much. I'm just going to mention them. You've probably heard of them before. The seal judgments that start in Revelation chapter 6. The trumpet judgments are Revelation 8 and 9. Then we have the bowl judgments, Revelation 15 and 16. Now, I believe that they are going to be in successive order, especially because the last seal kind of introduces the first trumpet. And the last trumpet introduces the first bowl. So that indicates to me they're going to be sequential in happening. Okay? And they're going to get progressively and progressively worse. But who is opening the seals? Do you remember in chapter 5? Who was worthy to open the seals? Jesus, the Lamb, right? And who is the Lamb? He is the third, he is one of the persons of the Trinity. He is God, right? So if God Himself, through Jesus Christ, is opening the seals and authorizing the trumpets and the bowls, what is that? It's the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God. And I keep hammering that because it's important when we get to the rapture and placing the timing of the rapture. Okay? Hopefully you're getting some of that. And please remember, as bad as those judgments are, first of all, I believe the church is not going to be here. Church is going to be out. They're going to be raptured before the wrath of God, because we're going to find out we are not appointed to wrath of God. Now, that doesn't mean we won't suffer the wrath of man or the wrath of Satan, but the church, the bride of Christ, should not suffer the wrath of God. Any comments or questions, please? I've overwhelmed you all already.
Well, I just have always thought, what would be the point of us as having chosen Christ to suffer His wrath? I mean, He's either forgiven us our sins or He hasn't. So why would He put us through something that isn't even for us? It's for His people.
Why would you want that? It's not about what I want. It's about the sovereignty of God. And that's why we're going to try and discover through the Word of God what His sovereign will is, what His sovereign plan is, so that we can be encouraged by it. Because what does Paul say to the Thessalonians? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And what's encouraging about going into the tribulation period? No, I don't think so. You know, but that's just me, okay? All right, let's look at the 70th week of Daniel interrupted in verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, I'm sorry. Again, this Daniel chapter 9 is our base for talking about script or about prophecy. Okay? And you can remember at the end of Daniel, God tells him, shut up the book. Close it up. In other words, until another time. And the idea is that as Daniel closed up his prophecy, there would be more information coming down the road that would help us to understand it better. And I truly believe that it is revelation that is the key to understanding Daniel and getting those two together. Okay? So that's why when somebody wants to study prophecy, I suggest you study Daniel first and then go to Revelation. But Revelation's the popular one. It's got everybody, you know, it's the one everybody wants to jump into. But I think you need some background before you do that. But anyway, I'm sorry, verse 27. So then he shall confirm a covenant for 1 week, so 7 years. But in the middle of the week, so at 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice of an offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And we can see as we look into other verses, specifically 2 Thessalonians 2:4, if you want to turn there with me, that's important that we understand, what happens at that 3.5 year mark. He breaks the covenant that he has made. Well, that's first. No wonder it didn't fit. Somebody already there? 2 Thessalonians 2:4.
Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Okay. I apologize to you. I should have included verse 3. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, is revealed in the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as the God in the as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Not. So the Antichrist will violate the temple agreement. He will go into the Holy of Holies, and some believe that he will sacrifice a pig, which is the most abominable thing to a Jewish person impossible, and he will set himself up to be worshipped as God. And that's probably going to happen right about the time of the mark of the beast and those things that come along with that, with his control over the world. And if you don't worship me and take my mark and commit to me by taking the mark, then you're not going to eat. You're not going to buy and sell. That's what I think is going to be happening here. Yes. Remember, Satan's fall was caused by his pride and his desire to be worshipped. I think that's what you're referring to, isn't it, Marlene? Yeah. The interesting thing, folks, is we live in a day and time where technology would allow that control of buying and selling by one man. Control it. Now, I'm not telling you to be scared or anything else. You know, some people go, well, you can't do this or you can't do that because that might be the mark of the beast, and you can't take the mark of the beast and still be saved. And you're going to know when you take the mark. Those who know, they will know. Those that are left will know. They will have to pledge allegiance, if you will, to the Antichrist as they take that mark. So it's not something that's going to sneak in an injection or whatever else. And please, I'm not about injections. But understand this. If people are trying to tell you that you're going to get tricked into it, no, not going to happen. All right, let me keep going. We're about out of time already. All right, there will be many people saved. This is the exciting part. When you read Revelation, really, you know, it could be a very discouraging book. But as you start to look at those that would be saved, Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 11 and chapter 14, all of these indicate there's going to be a great coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Some miraculous witnesses, the 144,000 Jewish witnesses, okay? They're not Jehovah Witnesses. They are Jewish witnesses. The Bible says so. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes specifically says that. Okay? And there's going to be angels flying around proclaiming the gospel into all the earth. There's going to be a couple of witnesses that stand at the temple and preach the gospel to all who will hear. So it'll be a great time of revival. Now, there will be many martyred. But again, the church isn't going to be there. These will be those that come to Christ after the rapture. They will be martyred for their belief, lots of them. Many believe that they will bring back the guillotine and use it to behead the saints. Okay? You can see the scripture references for that. There will also be the rise of the false prophet, the one who points to the Antichrist and say, hey, let's worship him. Okay? Many people try and equate this with some form of the Pope or that Vatican experience or that presence, that somebody like that could bring over the entire world the desire to worship or point them towards the Antichrist. I think it's going to be, it could possibly be somebody naturally raised up by Satan, but know this, it's going to be somebody evil that is going to have a false religion and point to a false God in place of Christ. Okay? There will also be the reign of peace introduced. At the end of the tribulation, at the end of the seven-year period, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, that's what I believe Christ will come. He will come in power and judgment, and he will set up his kingdom here on the earth. And guess what? The Bible says we get to come with him. Isn't that cool? All right, and we talked about the millennium before, so I won't dive into that, but this is then the culmination of the promises that were fulfilled to Israel, or they'll be to Israel that will be fulfilled, that we started talking about. How many ever weeks ago I started preaching or talking about this or teaching about this? Remember the covenants with Abraham and David? They will be fulfilled in the time of the millennium. All right. Any comments or questions before we close? In other words, you got homework to do. There's lots of scriptures we didn't look at. Okay? But I wanted to get through the tribulation today so that we can set up next week. My intent is, if we're still here, for us to go through the rapture. And we'll probably take a couple of Sundays going through the rapture. And then I'm going to be gone a Sunday, which looks like it would be work out perfectly because we're going to have a guest here at that time. So that, even though I hate to miss that, I've got a grandson who's graduating mechanic school in Laramie, Wyoming. And for him to be graduating something like that, that's exciting. So we're going to go celebrate with him. All right? Any comments or questions? All right. I feel like I've monopolized everything. Hopefully you're not overwhelmed or underwhelmed or whatever. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you prepare us and not scare us. That if we would just teach the entire counsel of God, we can know it and know what's happening and what's around us. And we can be prepared, looking up, as your scripture asks us to do. When we see these things begin, look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. And so we can look at the things going on around us and we can be excited. If these things are going to happen in the tribulation period and they're casting their shadows forward and we see those shadows, then we know what's coming. When we see the Christmas lights, we know that Thanksgiving is around the corner. And so we can be excited about that, Father. And it should motivate us, it should excite us to be about your work, to be busy in the things of God. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you for sharing with us the beginning from the end. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.